We're winding up this series about I Promise, and it's a series about healthy relationships. It's the principles that look at all the relationships in our lives. Our promises, the promises that you have in your life, our promises reflect us as individuals. Your promises are a reflection of you personally. So the health of your marriage reflects the health of the individuals in the marriage. When I say I promise, and when we say that, what are we really saying? Because it can be empty words. And we've looked at this, but I just want to remind us as we wrap it up, and that is the word promise is a compound Latin word that says to send something forward. And so by definition, promise is a declaration that we make now that we will need in the future. So we make a promise or a vow now that's going to be necessary in the future. Something that we know, we're making this commitment here that down the road, we are definitely going to need that commitment to survive. Here's why this is so important, these promises, and that's this. A promise that we make has nothing to do with our emotions or feelings. And if our promises are based on our emotions or our feelings, then what happens is we make a commitment based on those feelings, and down the road, when those feelings are no longer there, neither is the commitment, neither is the promise. A promise is our commitment to an action, your commitment to an action. Most of you that have been married, you stood before family and friends, and the minister asked you, do you take this person for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until death do you part? And you said, I do, I'm all in. And that has absolutely nothing to do with feelings. That's a commitment. So we've been addressing the different promises that we need to make for healthy relationships, healthy marriages. First one is this, we have to promise to love ourselves, and not in a selfish way, but in a way that God loves us, in a way that God values us. We also made a promise to pursue partnership, and then a promise that we would have shared pursuits. And today we close the series with a promise that we promise to stay pure. And you wouldn't think that this is necessary in a marriage, but it is necessary in a marriage. And not only that, it's necessary in our personal lives, period. We are only going to hear this to the degree of, I mean, if it's serious to you, then you'll listen. If it's not serious to you, you won't. And if it's not serious to you, I can guarantee you that your marriage will not last. I guarantee you that you as an individual, the relationships in your life will be compromised, as we're going to look at in just a moment. Absolutely nobody goes into a marriage with the goal of committing adultery. No one gets into a marriage thinking, hey, you know what, I'm going to get into marriage, but really what I'm going to do is I've got this goal, I'm going to be addicted to porn. No one goes into marriage and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to have an affair. Maybe an emotional affair, but it's going to start off an emotional, but I'm going to end up having an affair. Nobody goes into a marriage with those kind of goals or those kind of issues. No one plans to wreck their marriage with compromise, and yet it happens all the time. Statistics tell us that well over half, 75% of people in a group, even this size, will do something that will compromise their marriage. Statistics say that 72% of men and 31% of women will seek out porn on a weekly basis. I really want you to hear that. Porn used to be a thing that was for guys. It is now obviously not for guys. It's for both. Statistics are rising for the female side. 72% of men and 31% of women will seek out porn on a weekly basis. And that's why this series is so important for us today that we look at. In fact, we can start with a really important feeling that I want you to write down, and that's this. It's impossible to build a life or a marriage that pleases God on a foundation of sin. It is impossible for us to build a life or a marriage that pleases God when we allow sin into our lives and into our marriage. We can't build a marriage that reflects God without God. So what happens is we allow these little bit of toxins into our lives, and what these few toxins that we allow in contaminate the whole of our lives and the whole of our marriage. If we live according to our natural desires or impulses, what happens is the strength and integrity of our lives and our marriage become compromised. What we think we have, we don't have, because we have allowed a toxin in that compromises the integrity and the strength. We look at it as, it's just something that doesn't hurt anyone. No, it does. It's crazy how nobody plans to do something that would destroy or significantly damage this relationship. And yet so many people are making choices that actually do ruin their marriage. And here's why I think this happens. Because most people don't have boundaries that protect their marriage. I can take it a step further and I can say most people don't have boundaries that protect their lives. But most people don't have boundaries that protect their marriage. We don't have safeguards that protect us and keep us from temptations. And yet we know, because the Bible tells us, Scripture tells us, that temptations will come. We live in a sinful world that has no boundaries. We live in a world that celebrates promiscuity. We live in a world where the ruler of this world, Satan, is called the tempter. And even though we know all of these things, we do nothing to protect ourselves or our marriage from the tempter. We just say, hey, you know what? I'll take it as it comes. But I know, and you know, that it comes and it's never dealt with. See, today we're looking at this promise for a healthy marriage. And we need to understand that the promise to stay pure means something really important, and that is purity matters to God. It matters because God himself is pure. It matters because this is what God's Spirit is working into your life personally. This is what God's Spirit is working into your marriage personally. It's what God wants you to experience. The desire to keep any toxins that pollute us, to keep those toxins away from us. It says in Philippians this, it says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. That is the goal. That's what God wants, for you and I to live pure and blameless lives. So we need to look at the definition so we're on the same page. Purity means this, the absence of toxins. Toxins are anything that is harmful and contaminate our lives and what God is building, what God is doing. The purity that God is trying to build in, toxins are anything that is against what God is trying to build within us. It's the compromises that we allow into our lives. And the truth is, purity matters. Our culture, we will spend millions of dollars to have pure water. We ourselves personally will spend money to make sure that our water is pure, but we will spend little to nothing on our marriage. We'll spend little to nothing on our lives. We will not even invest the time that is necessary to have pure lives or a pure marriage. See, we want to remove any element that impairs the purity of our marriage and our lives. Scripture tells us this. In Hebrews, it says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Another translation says it this way, honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between a wife and a husband. God draws a firm line against casual and illicit sex. And somehow it's like we know it, but we don't believe it. I think that there's this line that we tend to look at and we say, you know what? God loves us, God forgives us, so I'll do what I want to do and then just count on God forgiving me. It's the dangerous game that we play, because what we're doing is we're allowing toxins in. And here's what this means. It means if we're married that we're going to honor the covenant of our marriage. And if we're not married, we are still going to honor the covenant of marriage, because we value what God has established and we value God's standard. We value what God says. Not because it's easy, but because it's right. It reflects God. And what do we do with the act of sex? We keep it pure. We allow it to be what God designed it to be. It's reserved and protected for marriage only. You know, I talk to people and they say, hey, you know, I'm human. And I wanna say, we're gonna look at this, but we have to understand something, and that is this. If Bible tells us that because of the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that we can overcome anything, and that God's Spirit gives us the power to overcome any temptation that we face. And I'm convinced, I say this because I just don't think we take it seriously. If you're saying you cannot control and you cannot win over temptations, then you have to really assess, does the Spirit of God live within you? Have you surrendered yourself to the Spirit of God? Because His Word says that the Spirit of God does give us the power to overcome temptation, but we have to take that seriously on a personal basis. Scripture says that purity matters to God, and that purity matters in our marriage. And Jesus said this way, blessed are those whose thoughts are pure because they will see God. So why is impurity increasing in marriage? I mean, impurity increases for a lot of different reasons. There's three that I think are pretty important I want to look at. And the first one is this, we're acting on natural desires. The reason impurity is increasing in marriages is because we're just acting on our natural instincts, our natural desires. There have always been and there always will be opportunities to hook up with somebody. We live in a world that says, if it feels good, do it. We live in a world that says, I'm not hurting anyone by doing this. You know, it's a personal thing. We live in a world that says, it's my body and I can do what I want, right? I mean, you hear that in a lot of different arguments. It's my body, I can do what I want. And I would say this, that is true, you can. But as a Christ follower, you can't. Because as a Christ follower, we're reminded this. Don't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So in other words, listen, if you've chosen to follow Christ, your life is not your own. Your body is not your own. We can't allow our natural desires to be excuses for ungodly behavior. And yet that's kind of where we live. We're supposed to actually do away with the natural desires. We're supposed to cultivate behaviors that reflect God. In fact, Colossians, it says, what this means is we need to be killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Hey, listen, all of us, we're human. We have to subject ourselves and we have to surrender ourselves to what God is trying to work in our lives. I think one of the biggest game changers in our modern world, and it's not so modern, but in my opinion, dealing with temptation and why it's become growing and growing, why it's becoming more and more, is this idea of having smartphones and mobile devices where pornography can be accessed anywhere at any time. Because what it does is it creates sexual addictions that we end up having. There's more things that are accessible, more temptations, and they're accessible whenever we want them. Whereas before, they wouldn't be. Another reason why impurity is increasing is because people are getting married later. And it's not that getting married later is wrong. It's not a bad thing. But there are a lot of challenges that come when we push marriage off to later. Because the truth is that we're sexual beings, and in writing to single people, Paul says this, if you can't control yourselves, go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust or with sexual passion. He makes an important statement here. He says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. And I don't know if you take that seriously, but it's no sexual immorality and not even a hint of impurity, no toxins, not even a hint of toxins. What is impurity? Basically, it's a poison. It's a substance that is capable of causing death in our marriage. And it doesn't take a lot of it. It takes just a small amount of it. But the truth is that we allow this toxin in, thinking that it doesn't affect anybody. And slowly it is contaminating not just our own lives, but it's destroying our marriage. We can't allow any poison in our marriage. And what does that look like if we're on the same page? I'm telling you, you know what? I mean, you got to be careful. You can't afford to give yourself to think and to fascinate about anybody in your life. You can't allow yourself to look at porn. And I would even say you've got to be careful, my encouragement would be to even stay away from romance novels because it is soft porn. And while it might not have the images, it gives the description. So what it's doing is it's creating an appetite for something other than what you have. It's creating a mental image of something other than what you truly do possess. We look at it and we say, hey, you know, it doesn't hurt. It livens up our sex life. It does different things. And I'm telling you, the more people allow this stuff, what I end up watching is it just becomes toxins. It says, leave no room for poison. This is what Solomon told his son in Proverbs 5:8. He's speaking about the adulterous woman, the prostitute, the known person that people would go to. He says, keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. And it's not just women. On the opposite side, it's true as well. It's keeping ourselves pure, and yet even in the church, even in our world of spirituality, even in our world of surrendering ourselves to God, there are so many people that feel like, hey, it's okay for me to sleep with whoever I want, even though we're not married, as if God's okay with it. And the problem is we end up undermining, we wonder why our lives are not being built to reflect God. We wonder why we don't have faith and why don't I have the strength? It's because we're not building, you can't build a life that reflects God on a foundation of sin. We can't. So why do we need protection from even a hint of impurity? Why can't we even allow a hint of impurity? Because first of all, it creates an appetite for more. Allowing a little bit of toxin in ends up multiplying. It creates an appetite. I know I've told you this story, but I'll say it again. I was with a friend, and we were at the Dallas Maverick game, and we were walking around before the game, and he was looking at the calendar, and he says, Dave, come over here. I want you to see this. And it was a calendar of the cheerleaders. I said, dude, I'm not going to look at that. He said, what? It's not going to hurt anything. It doesn't hurt anything. I said, listen, you look at the menu long enough and you're going to get hungry. And that becomes a statement that I have used a lot of times in helping people that deal with this, because the truth is, the more we expose ourselves to something, the more it creates an appetite for what we don't have. Another reason is because it undermines the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage is unity and oneness, and impurity is about selfishness. Another reason is because it nurtures a divided heart. We're supposed to have a heart that is bound to and united with one other person. And what this does is it joins us with an appetite for somebody other than that one. I mean, rather than being united with one, our heart is on a secret mission of its own for something else. Another reason is because our lives and our marriage are supposed to reflect God. And in no way is God reflected when we allow impurity into our lives. So here's the thing, we are sexual beings, but sexuality should never control us. You can't feel bad that you are a sexual being. The truth is, we are all sexual beings. The problem is, sexuality should never control us. In 1 Thessalonians, it reminds us, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, or in other words, in the process of being made pure, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God. For God did not call us to impure, but to live a holy life. So here's what that means. Our passions need parameters for all of us. They need boundaries and guardrails that protect us, that keep us going in the direction of purity, not going in the direction that our emotions or our feelings want. Paul gives a boundary when he says, flee from sexual immorality. That's a boundary, flee. When immorality shows up, run away. Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was after him, grabbed him, when the opportunity was there, Joseph ran. Flee is what Paul says. It's a boundary. And if we're going to make us a priority, and if we're going to protect our marriage, we need to understand that purity in our marriage begins in our heart and our mind. We read it again earlier. I want to read it one more time, and then we'll read it also again later on. Jesus says this, blessed are those whose thoughts are pure because they will see God. We need parameters. So how do we nurture a pure heart? Ask God for a clean heart. It begins with asking God to create something within us that currently doesn't exist. David said, God created me a clean heart and renew a loyal spirit within me. We can't create this on our own. We need God. Only God can do this. Another way that we nurture a pure heart is we make a commitment to God's standard. And I would encourage you this, you can commit to that right here, right now. Because I'm convinced that here's what happens. At this moment, God's speaking to you about different things that are going on in your life. I don't know if it's porn. I don't know if it's you're harboring thoughts over somebody at work or whatever it might be. You're just allowing something that's, maybe it's movies that you're allowing, all that. Whatever the things, I know, I'm absolutely certain that if something's going on in your life that God has already pointed, God's already put his finger on you. He's always saying, hey, I want you to pay attention to this. But here's the problem. Many times what happens is we don't respond to God. And so what happens is we wait and we walk outside and we start talking to somebody. We get in the car, turn the radio up, and all of a sudden we don't hear the voice anymore. The voice that you hear right now, God speaking to you, you don't hear when you're in the car listening to radio. You drowned it out. You don't go, when you go home and you turn the game on or you turn something on, that voice, and here's what happens. The more we shut that voice out, the harder it becomes to hear it. See, we have to make a commitment to God's standard. If we're going to nurture something that reflects God, it has to come from God. That's what Psalms 139 says. I know it says 139, I believe it's 119. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? God's standard is God's word, and we have to align ourselves with him. We also nurture a pure heart when we manage our thoughts. See, if impurity begins in our heart, then lust begins in our mind, and we end up fixating on someone as a sexual object that brings self-gratification. Jesus said, I tell you that anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her already in their heart. And like Job says, we need to do this very same thing. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully on a girl. And I would say, not for us to look lustfully on anyone. And lastly, we nurture a pure heart when we magnify the consequences. We need to get real with ourselves. Who does this hurt? If I let this play out, if I let this go on, if I don't address this, who does this hurt? Because it doesn't just hurt you. It doesn't just hurt your spouse. It also damages other people. Because all the impurities begin to get passed down. And the foundation, we start building a foundation of sin. Guess what happens to that foundation or the house that gets built on it? It begins to crumble. How does this play out in the long run? What are going to be the lasting consequences of my actions if I don't surrender this and get rid of it and allow God to change me? Proverbs says it this way, a man who commits adultery lacks judgment, and whoever does so destroys themselves. So one more time, we look at Jesus' words. Our need for purity and our desire for purity. Blessed are those whose thoughts are pure because they will see God. When we stop nurturing purity, we no longer see God in our lives. When we stop nurturing purity in our marriage, we no longer see God's activity in our marriage. And we can't build a marriage that reflects God without God. Here is the issue. We need him. We need him to do in our lives what we cannot do. We need him so that our lives reflect him in purity. I just want us to look really quick at just three responses that a lot of people have towards impurity in their lives. And the first one is defensiveness. And this is where we start. We make excuses and we basically refuse to address the truth. We're not willing to take an honest assessment of what's going on in our lives and what the issues are that we face. And here's the problem. Defensiveness seeks to protect ourselves at the expense of our marriage. And that's the danger of this. It's like when we become defensive and we make excuses, we're basically looking to protect ourselves personally at the expense of our marriage. Another response is remorse. And it's the kind of remorse where we feel bad, but the problem is that no change ever comes. And here's the danger of this. We think feeling bad is the goal, and so we feel bad about allowing it, but we don't change the behavior. And remorse that doesn't bring change, what happens is it results in discouragement with ourselves, and we also get a hard heart out of it because we end up with our hearts absent and refusing to listen to God. The last one is this, repentance, and that is where it's a remorse that also results in a change of direction. Rather than allowing poison or toxins into our lives and into our marriage, we're actually removing the toxins that are in our lives and in our marriage. We're actively involved in removing the contaminants. Scripture says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow, just remorse, brings death. Listen, when there is no life change, when there's no desire or strategy for purity in our lives. So here's the application. And you can just close your eyes if you want. Just listen for a moment. There's two ways that I'd really like you to consider a response to this. I mean, yes, you want to be defensive. You want to just have remorse and feel bad and not bring any change. That's up to you. I would encourage you to do this. I would encourage you to commit and promise to God that you're going to cultivate purity in your life and in your marriage. It starts with a commitment to God first. Father, I commit myself to you that I'm going to cultivate purity in my life. I'm going to allow you. I'm not going to fight against the purity that you're wanting in my life. And the other thing is that you make a commitment to somebody that purity is your priority. Now here's the deal. We make a commitment to someone for the sake of accountability, but here is the issue, and please hear me on this. Just keep your eyes closed. If you're married, that person would be your spouse. If you are married, the person you want to make a commitment to that you're going to be pure is your spouse, so that you can have a shared promise, a shared pursuit. If you're not married, then it needs to be a trusted friend that's going to pray with you, but a friend that's of the same sex. Don't find an accountability person with somebody that's the opposite sex talking about your struggle with temptation. Doesn't work. A trusted friend that you know is going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and you know our hearts and you know our lives, and it's true that we are sexual beings, but it doesn't mean that we have to be controlled by our sexuality. Father, you've given us the ability to be in control. You've given us the ability to live a life that honors you and pleases you and to live a life of purity. And Father, first of all, I just pray for each person that's here today, Father, that we make a commitment to you that we're going to live pure lives and we're going to have pure marriages. That's a priority for us. We're not going to allow small contaminants in. We're not going to allow small toxins in. We're going to watch our eyes. We're going to watch what we set our heart on. Father, we're going to give ourselves to you. Father, I pray for every person that's here that they would not get discouraged and not give up. But Father, as we are becoming more and more like you, that Father, you will work in our lives purity that reflects you, because we cannot be anything that reflects you without you in our lives. And so, Lord, we need you. We turn to you. And I just thank you, because I know that you have great things in store for us as individuals, but also in our marriages. Father, may they be strong. May our promises mean something. May our words reflect your spirit within us, as we make a commitment to you and we make a commitment to our spouse. In Jesus' name, amen.